Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for Sunday, January 19th, 2019, looking at Genesis chapters 45 and the first portion of 46. And just as a note, if you're following along on the bookmark and on our reading schedule, this is the last reading from Genesis. And so we'll conclude with just a verse from Genesis chapter 50. We'll get to that at the end today. Genesis 45 and the first portion of 46. Joseph was unable to control himself in front of all of his attendants, so he called out, "Send everyone out from my presence." When no one else was left with him, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. He wept out loud. The Egyptians heard him, and the house of Pharaoh heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" His brothers could not answer him because they were terrified by his presence. Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me, please." They came closer. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be upset or angry with yourselves for selling me to this place, since God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For 2 years now the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me ahead of you to preserve you as survivors on the earth and to keep you alive by a great act of deliverance. So it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord over his entire household and ruler over the whole land of Egypt. Hurry, go up to my father and tell him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, where you will be close to me. You, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will take care of you here, for there are still 5 years of famine. Otherwise, you will come to ruin, you, your household, and all that you have. Pay attention. Your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You shall tell my father all about my position of honor in Egypt and about everything that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' He threw his arms round his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his shoulder. He kissed all his brothers and wept over them. After that, his brothers talked with him. The report was heard in Pharaoh's house, 'Joseph's brothers have come.' This pleased Pharaoh and his officials. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Tell your brothers, load your animals, travel quickly to the land of Canaan, get your father and your households and return to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the rich food of the land. Now I command you to do this. Take carts from the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father here. Also do not worry about your belongings, for the best of the whole land of Egypt is yours.' So that is what the sons of Israel did. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he gave them supplies for the journey. He gave each one of them a change of clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothing. He sent the following to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and supplies for his father on the journey. So he dismissed his brothers, and they departed. He said to them, 'See to it that you do not quarrel on the way.' They went up from Egypt and came to Jacob their father in the land of Canaan. They told him, 'Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt.' He was stunned because he did not believe them. They told Jacob every word that Joseph had said to them. When he saw the carts that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. Israel said, 'It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.'" Chapter 46. Israel traveled with all that he had until he came to Beersheba, where he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. God called to Israel in a vision at night, "Jacob, Jacob." Jacob said, "I am here." He said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will certainly bring you back again, and Joseph's hand will close your eyes." Jacob set out from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel transported Jacob their father, their little ones, and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. They took their livestock and their property that they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and they came to Egypt. Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his grandsons, his daughters and his granddaughters. So he brought all his offspring with him into Egypt. This is the word of our God. A couple of things to note from this selection. I think there's a little bit more going on here than meets the eye. First of all, we noticed in the previous reading from yesterday that the Egyptians don't eat with the Hebrews because they find it detestable. And if you just think of the typical painting that you have of the Egyptian people, of well-manicured and clean-shaven, and perhaps even wearing makeup, and then the typical image that you have of Abraham or the other Jewish people, typically people living in tents and being shepherds and having flocks and that sort of a thing. And the note from yesterday's reading was that the Egyptians considered it detestable to eat with the Hebrews. And you notice that they didn't even eat with Joseph. That Joseph was eating by himself, the Egyptians were eating by themselves, and Joseph had left his brothers to eat by themselves. And so that first note that we've got, when Joseph says, you can come live in the land of Goshen, and that's the rich area, fertile area, that's good grazing land. And most of all, it's like up the northern part at the mouth of the Nile, where the Nile kind of meets the Mediterranean. And it's a good way for the Egyptians to say, you can just go live over there. You can have your flocks and your herds over there. And they aren't going to be integrated into Egyptian society because Pharaoh wants to be respectful, but he's also like, yeah, you can just live on over there. That's okay. And so the other part is that, you know, maybe there is a little bit of politics involved here. When Joseph says to his brothers, you can come live in the land of Goshen. And then the word travels to Pharaoh, and Joseph has already prepped the way, and he's already decided that this is what they should do. And Pharaoh says, yeah, sure, bring your family. Just go live over there. And what God is doing with this is that God wants to use these next 400 years and that's what it is, next 400 years to grow his nation from this group of 70 or so that comes down to Egypt. And I think we've got that note here at the end of chapter 46. Verses 26 and 27. The total number of souls who came with Jacob into Egypt, who were his direct descendants besides Jacob's sons' wives, was 66. The sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were two souls. Total number of souls of the house of Jacob who came into Egypt was 70. And so God is going to grow his nation from this nation of 70 into a nation of million. You know, it just is going to grow almost exponentially. And God wants to bring his people here so they don't get married to all the Canaanites. Because if they kept living in Canaan, they would be led astray by their false teaching and their idolatry. They would be led astray by their own sinful desires, and they would be led into joining in the same sin as the Canaanites and the Amorites and everybody else around them. And they would intermarry, and here's the thing. Then the line of the Savior would be lost. Because that's what God is doing. He's preserving the line of the Savior. Because he's promised that the Savior, the Messiah, would have to come from the family line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's narrowed it down to Judah. And we hear that especially in Jacob's dying words when he blesses Judah in a couple of chapters later. You can check that out on your own. And the Savior has to come from Judah. So if Judah's family is no longer distinct from the world around them, then Jesus can't be born. And that's kind of a big deal, obviously. The other note, the final note, this is from Genesis 50, and when Joseph talks with his brothers again after Jacob passes away, his father passes away. And this was kind of his summary statement. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring this to pass and to keep many people alive as it is this day. And what he's doing is he's looking back and he can see from hindsight how God had turned everything evil into a blessing, how God had turned the evil intention of the brothers into a blessing, not just for Jacob, but for but for Joseph and his entire family, for Jacob's entire household, and for that whole region. But Joseph can only see that in hindsight. He didn't know that ahead of time. And so, as we go about our day, we've got the reminder, the blessing from God, that he will use everything in your life for your eternal good. And we might not be like Joseph and see how it all works out. And it might not be this rosy story where after, 10 years in prison, then somebody arises to leader of the most powerful nation on the earth. That might not be it. When God says that he'll work everything out for our eternal good, it might mean a lifetime of suffering on this side of heaven. But his promise still stands true. And his word is still trustworthy, no matter our opinion about the matter, that God says, especially in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, most clearly, that he will work everything out for our eternal good. And that promise is true because Jesus died and rose. Jesus baptized you into his family, and Jesus continues to reassure you of your forgiveness in the Lord's Supper. That's what it comes down to, really. How do you know God is trustworthy? Because he gave his son. Thanks so much for joining us today. Invite you to tune in again tomorrow. We're going to be beginning the book of Exodus, which picks up the thread of the storyline about 400 years later with the birth of Moses. God bless your day.